Hi, docs. Welcome to the EntreMD podcast, where it's all about helping amazing physicians just like you embrace entrepreneurship so you can have the freedom to live life and practice medicine on your terms. I'm your host, Dr. Una. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the EntreMD podcast. And as always, I'm excited. I want to first of all say thank you for listening, for sharing, for reviewing. It is helping us grow. It is helping us spread the word. It is helping us get the message out there that we are doctors. Yes, this is challenging times, but this is our time to embrace entrepreneurship so we can live life and practice medicine on our own terms. It's been said doctors don't know anything about money. They don't know how to run businesses and all of that stuff, but we are changing that. And you are changing that by being a listener and acting on all the things that you learn. So thank you. All right. I'm really excited about this episode because I have a special guest for you. So this is part of what we do in the EntreMD Business School. I had one of my clients who is a master at networking come in to teach the EntreMD Business School students about networking and all of that. So I get to share part of what she taught in the business school on this podcast. And we're talking about how to leverage the power of networking to grow your business. Okay. So my special guest is Dr. Barbara Joy Parks, and she is a family medicine doctor and one of the ultimate intrapreneurs that I've met. And she's the lead physician at Northside Hospital Outpatient Center in Peachtree Corners. And we talk all things networking. Now, after this, in the business school, everyone is raving. You know, she does a Q&A with everybody afterwards, and it was just really so impactful. And you see introverts now talk about it a week later, like, oh my God, I am having so much fun with networking. If you can imagine it. All right. So this is a really, really good episode. I want you to lean in. I want you to enjoy it. And if you are thinking, I want to start a business, I want to grow my business, I want to rock this entrepreneurship thing, I want this to be as simple as my algorithms in my clinical life is, right? I want to invite you to come join us in the EntreMD Business School, okay? So entreMD.com/business, all right? But in the meantime, I want you to enjoy this episode and get everything you can get out of it. So here's the episode.
Okay. As an entrepreneur, the first thing that is the biggest thing that is worth every single thousand of dollar or with all those thousands I paid for Dr. Una's course was I have a 4-day work week and I didn't have to cut anything. We had a conversation. I wrote everything down with Dr. Una talking about how I could leverage myself and who I was that was different from all my other colleagues. And I said, this is what I have to offer, and I need a 4-day work week because I'm too tired to do the other things that are positive for the hospital, such as go on TV and go to Rotary Club meetings and all these other types of things. And they were like, that makes sense. And so I was like, yeah, you're right. And so I just work Monday through Thursday, and I have a 3-day weekend every single weekend to do things that I enjoy and pursue other stuff on the side. So I'm very, very, very thankful for that. And I basically established myself as an irreplaceable employee because of that. So being a minority female, being an osteopath and still practicing osteopathic manipulative treatment. So that's unique. And then I do things like network. So I actually am able to attract patients to the practice through word of mouth and through my networking on social media, where they're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on advertising. And here I am for free attracting probably, I always ask when somebody's new, how did you find your way here? And 2/3 of them come through social media. So I'm like, y'all could have gave me that $200,000. I'll attract patients for y'all. I'll go to meetings. I'll post whatever advertisement to get patients here. And another thing as an entrepreneur is Dr. Una opened up my mind to that I could do side gigs. So I am actually a peer reviewer for the VA hospital, and I make basically enough money to pay my student loans every month so that my main gig, that money goes for what it needs to be. And then the side gig actually pays for my student loans, which is basically a mortgage, $3,500 a month. So I'm able to, that's it. Fridays is when I actually do that. So I spend about 10 to 12 hours on the side gig. And so basically 4 days a month to make my student loan payment. And I do that work on Fridays. So very appreciative of that. And then basically speaking on stages, because anybody who is able to command an audience it shows credibility and accountability. And I get a lot of people who actually come see me due to having spoken on like panels or been a speaker at different events. So those are some of my wins as an entrepreneur.
Awesome. How many of you love those? Love it. Now, there's a win that I remember. Now, let me set the stage for this. So when you started working at this clinic for Northside, they had started it. Like you started at ground zero, yeah. Right? And they had all these projections, like how long it would take them to get X number of patients and all of that stuff. I remember you telling me that you guys were ahead of projection, right?
Right. So they actually put me on guaranteed salary for 2 years because they didn't expect me to even build a practice for 2 years. And so on the first day, I had 9 patients and we've been packed ever since then. So I'm packed currently probably 2 or 3 months out. And I think we are considered at least 50 to 60% ahead of projection, even with COVID, because COVID generally for the hospital was, you know, a deficit for everybody. But even with COVID over the last, you know, 9, 10 months, I'm still ahead of projection because they really didn't think I would build a practice until 2 years in. So I guess I'm thankful they have low expectations so I could surpass them.
I don't know they had low expectations. I just think you're brilliant.
In my head, I'm thinking, who do you guys think I am? But sure. Okay, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're amazing. They didn't know. Now they know. Now, how important would you say that networking has been to your success? Because this is a lot of success, right? And it's not like you've been out of residency for 10 years. You know what I mean? Like, so this is huge. So what's the connection between that and networking, do you think?
So I would say that it's excessively been really, really helpful. Knowing people, it's through people in my network that, number one, got me on TV, that get me all the gigs that I do, any podcast episodes where I'm a guest. It's all because I networked with somebody who networked with somebody else. Even my first grand rounds, when I went all the way to Westchester, New York, and that hospital was through EntreMD, through Dr. Una, one of her other coaching students. She works as an attending there as an anesthesiologist and got me the gig. So there's traveling, that's something to put on my resume, and financially was good for me. And then also just by who I was in residency, I was always going to different meetings and representing. There was only 5 of us. I was one of the first in the inaugural class of family medicine residents on the campus of Gwinnett Medical Center, which is now Northside Hospital. And I was just basically the face of it. Every single meeting or anything that there was to be at, Christmas party, New Year's Eve party, any, you know, department meetings, I was there showing my face. And so at the end of that, all 5 of us actually wanted to stay on board as an attending and enter attendinghood with the hospital system, but they only offered 2 out of 5 of us jobs. And I think that had a lot to do with the fact that getting along with everybody and my face was very visible versus, I guess, some of my other colleagues that didn't go anywhere, didn't do anything, didn't make any connections, and they weren't offered anything. They basically had to go outside of the hospital system to look for work, even though we're at a deficit for primary care in the state of Georgia and for everybody. So I think the networking was really helpful for that. I would also say another big thing is recently, since March, at the beginning of COVID, I started a group called White Coats and Gavels. And so that's basically every woman of color that is a physician, judge, or like lawyer, basically in Atlanta and surrounding areas. We got in a group together that I started. I had like a mixer right before pandemic hit at the beginning of March. And then that week is when everything shut down. And so because of the pandemic, and also because my skill of galvanizing people, I was able to bring those two groups together where the lawyers, they were scared about COVID. And so they would ask the physicians questions about their kids, about themselves, about anything medical, we would answer. And then the other half, when like my job thought that they could send me back to work without PPE, I basically verbalized, I need some verbiage here, guys. I need to snap back real quick, politically correct, but like snap back. I'm not going back into the clinic until y'all get me PPE. And basically they were able to contribute that to my life, along with other things like personally when I needed a ticket or whatever and got represented And then one of the judges was actually the one at the front. She was like, I got you, wink. I was like, okay. And then I got my license back and everything. So that has been beneficial in a personal and then in a very much financial way. And also, because I was very supportive of a bunch of the women who are now basically in Superior Court, or I would say that there's probably about 20 of these women who are currently judges in Atlanta and surrounding areas. And I don't know when that will pay off, but I know that it has to in the future at some point, being connected with basically every judge in Atlanta and surrounding areas, in, you know, that my name would be known around if it was mentioned, that it would have a positive connotation to it if anybody ever mentioned me, that my reputation preceded me in a positive way. And that was all through networking, through bringing that together. So that has been really, really beneficial. Networking has been exponentially got me everything that I'm here now. Yeah.
So at this point, I and everyone in the group are going like, well, I mean, connected to 20 judges, got a job, got all the way to CNN to do it, you know, as a medical expert correspondent. We're like, okay, all right, enough. Give us your best tips. How do we become rock stars at networking? What would you say?
Okay, so I would say just to get out and advertise your booty. You need to get out and get to events in which there are going to be people that are like you or in different scenes that you would like to be in. Or if it's somebody that is in a position that you are striving for. So like Dr. Una, she's to me hashtag goals. So I'm going to stay in circles where she's at and even come here be with you guys, because it's a benefit to both of us for me to network with Dr. Una and be in her circle and be here in the first place. So basically be around those successful people and go around and advertise your booty. Be around everywhere where people see your face, even if they don't know your name, or if they do know your name and they attach it to a face that was familiar, there's a better chance of whatever you need, whether it be a job or a referral or anything, that you would be seen in a positive light versus negative or just neutral. They would have something to say about you over somebody else. Another thing is, when you get somebody's social media or cards, when you meet them for the first time, don't wait for a long time before you contact them. So if you get their email or their cell phone number, I actually do this, and it might be kind of awkward, but I'll take a selfie. I'll be like, smile, I'll take a selfie. And then I'll literally send them the picture of us so that they know the place where we met and they can place my face when I send like my card or whatever. And then if they're on social media, I'll go and stalk them a little bit by going and actually commenting and liking a bunch of their pictures, so that I show up like 20 times, like this person liked this many pictures and commented on this. It leaves a positive connotation too. Like, I don't care if you think I'm a stalker, whatever. You recognize me, you notice me. Okay. The next thing is, if it's in person, if it's away from COVID when we're back in person, the best place to hang out is next to the food or the drink place. Here's why. Because if somebody comes in, they put their coat away, they come to the networking event, they go get their drink or go get their food, and then they face the crowd and they try to figure out what to do, where to go, what their next step is, why don't you be the hero and go rescue them by introducing yourself, and you give them something new to do. You are their next plan. Like, you stepped up and said, oh, what did you get to drink? Or who do you know that brought you here? Do you know the host? Or how is this connected? And you are actually the savior. So that's the best place to hang out when we're back in person, is right next to the bar or next to the food place where you are their rescue when they face the room. Another thing that I do is, basically over the last decade on social media, I don't just like, because if you just like things, you get lost in the sauce. So I actually take time to make a comment, if it's an emoji or then something truly meaningful that shows that you took the time to write happy birthday, or if they had a win, you wrote on it, or if their kid is cute, you wrote how that's cute, how your kid picked you that flower or whatever. Commenting means something. Even if they don't say thank you or reciprocate, again, in the future, their perspective of you is going to be something very positive if at any point in the future you as a human being come up, whether it's professionally or personally, it'll be something positive. So those are some of my tips. Yeah. So like, go stalk them, like their you know, everybody likes people who like them. Everybody wants to be liked. So if you show that you're really enjoying their pictures and are enjoying them, they're going to have a positive perspective of you.
All right. Super cool. And social media, I can say social media works really nicely for Dr. Barbara Joy, because this is what tends to happen. Oh, I'm looking for a family doctor and I'm in Atlanta. They're like, well, if you want to drive, Dr. Barbara Joy's in Peachtree Gardens. It's not too far, but you should go to her. And literally you see one post and it's like 12 different people. Like, they didn't see all the other times somebody tagged her. There's 12 different people tagging her back to back to back. And that's one of the main reasons why they're 50% ahead of projection, because even the people who are hosts for TV gigs that she's done, they're shouting her out. And on social media, they're shouting her out. And you see that nonstop. And I wanted to take a moment and ask you this, because you're really good at this too, because someone may be thinking, well, I don't have all that time to be on social media forever, right? Like, so how do you balance it? Because you have a job, you work 4 days a week, and you don't want social media overtaking your life. So how do you balance it where you're able to engage with people's posts, but you're still the boss of social media? It's not the boss of you.
Right. Like, social media can serve you, or you can serve it. So I would say lately what I'll do is basically set an alarm. So I'll be very intentional that this particular 60 minute is for social media to interact and to comment and to kind of manage the White Coats and Gavels group, just to go in and be present. And then once the alarm goes off, then I have to go into something else that is useful. But it's very intentional for that hour. And so I'll do that. And then on my lunch break, I may spend 15 minutes before I, you know, go take a walk outside or take lunch. So just intentional when I do it, not just lightheartedly going about it. Like, I'm intentional when I get on that's my purpose, is to engage and get engagement as well.
So we're not just scrolling and looking at funny cat videos, as I always say, and scrollitis and, you know, all of that stuff. Okay, so this is intentional. And what I usually say is, you know, if Mark Zuckerberg were on Facebook, he's on there, he's not just scrolling, right, and looking at funny cat videos. He's there as an entrepreneur. How do I make this product better? How do I keep people on here longer? What do I do to give them a better experience? So I'm like, if Mark is going to do that, then so am I. Right? So it is social media, yes, but as entrepreneurs, we can have times where we show up there as entrepreneurs with intentionality, as she says. Okay. Now, I remember I had an episode about networking that had come out, I want to say it was in January or so. And then people listening to it, they're like, oh, well, now there's COVID, so everything's virtual. And so that means no networking. I'm like, no, there's still networking. The way we're doing it is just a little different. So since COVID hit and you've had to network virtually more so, you know, more often than not is virtual. Actually, all the time is virtual. Have you pivoted? Have you adapted? Have you stayed in networking mode even in this time?
Yes, I definitely have. But it is virtual at this point. So basically, I've been a podcast guest. So if I meet anybody who has a podcast, I'll find a way to be on their podcast in whichever way that they need. So it might be, there was a mega church who had me on, so they wanted to know about COVID. There was the Women Aviation Group of America, and I got on for them. Basically, if anybody invites me on to speak, I'm there. So I'm doing that. And then also, there are a lot of our colleagues that I don't know that I do want to know and be in their good graces. So if they're doing a Facebook Live, or they're putting on their own Zoom or an Instagram Live or any of that, I will go on, if it's interesting, I'll stay on the whole time if I'm learning something. But I might go on for 5 or 10 minutes and be very loud the whole time. Meaning, if they say something nice, you'd be like, wow, that was so profound. I'm going to save that. Or, wow, you ladies look beautiful. I love your scarf, you know, Dr. K. Marie. Or ask a question. Just basically engage them where they acknowledge that this person took the time out of their day to come on my Facebook Live or my Instagram Live and make a comment about how they enjoyed the content that I had to say, or that they agree with me, or compliment me on my scarf or my hair, or that they saw me someplace else and they really enjoyed this. So it doesn't take the full 50, 60 minutes that some people are on. I may take 5 to 10 minutes and be very active in their face talking. And they recognize that. So later on, they engage me a lot because they saw that I took my time and just, I guess, what is the word? Modest, or just like I'm always open to constantly learning, even as I progress in many things. And Dr. Una is saying, you're an expert at this. I always try to be completely open-minded. There's something new for me to learn from every single person. Every person can teach me something. And so if I come in humble like that, people love to contribute to others. So I let people know and I acknowledge when they contribute to me, even if it's small or to make me laugh or to make me smile, and it makes them feel good. And then if it's somebody very important in the time of COVID, what I'll do is there are opportunities to be outside. So I'll invite them to a restaurant or to coffee where there's an outside seating where it's getting colder. So maybe there's a heat lamp, but then they can't deny me because I'm saying I'll pay for it. There's the heat lamp. It's outside. It's COVID safe or whatever. Meet me there and let's have a latte or, you know, shrimp tempura or whatever. So if there's somebody that I need to extrapolate something from them and they're doing something that I need to learn, then I'll date them. I'll take them on a date and make it COVID safe. So yeah, I would say those are my tips on how I pivoted in the pandemic.
Awesome. Awesome. And I think a lot of it too, even before the pandemic, I think we were more virtual than we thought, because Dr. Barbara Joy, you and I, our first encounter was, it may have been social media. Yeah. And then we talked on the phone a lot. Mm-hmm. And then I think EntreMD Live was the first time we actually met in person.
Yes. Actually, the first time was at the Atlanta Modern Luxury launch for they were giving awards to female physicians that were doing good stuff in the community.
Oh yeah, that was before EntreMD Live. But we had been talking for months and months and months by that time, right? So it was very virtual, even though we were in COVID.
Yeah, it definitely was. It started off virtual and then we took it offline.
Yeah.
And then now back online.
Love it. Okay, so I'm going to ask you one more question and then I'm going to open this up so people can ask their questions because I'm sure they have them. But before I do that, I want to point out something, because the strategy that she's talking about engaging, I want to show you how much it pays off, right? So you may see me looking down. I'm on her Facebook page and she has 3,900 friends, which in the Facebook world, that's not a whole lot of friends, right? But if you look through her posts, you see so many posts with 100 likes, 200 likes, 500 likes, 600 likes, and that's not even the wedding. Do you see what I mean? And there's tons of comments and all of that stuff. And the reason for that is because of the amount of engagement that she does, it's like people are like, oh, that's my friend, right? And everybody's commenting, you know. So I remember being really amazed by the ratio of, you know, number of people versus number of amount of engagement you get. So I'm just saying that to say this stuff works, right? So what would you say to the person who is just starting off? So let's say social media, they don't really have a lot of followers. They're just trying to build their audience. They want to do a Facebook Live, but they're like, there's nobody here to talk to. What would you tell that person? How do they start?
I would say, like you always say, sloppy action, but at least forward action. Like start posting, start doing your lives, and you'll soon enough start to acquire, but you want the right audience. And so as you are basically displaying what you have to offer, whether it be medical tips or talking about COVID and the new vaccine or whatever it is, or things that you enjoy doing, you still have credibility just because you're a physician. You're held to a higher standard in society just for that period. And also don't think that just because somebody's not liking it or commenting, that doesn't mean that it's not engaging them. There are a lot of people that I have come to visit me and Dr. Una as well, that they never commented, never liked, but they can basically tell me every post I put up. So just because you don't see it through the numbers and the likes or the comments doesn't mean people aren't watching. And sometimes people, for whatever reason, that's all they do. They just, what is the word? They just snoop or in, you know, behind and just looking at things, but they're actually really, really engaged. And you may not find out until later that that's the case. So don't just look at the evidence of it through the numbers. Keep going and you'll eventually get who you need to get. And also it is the quality of that. So it is true that I may only have, you know, 3,900 on Facebook, but you know, my wedding photo got like 2,000 likes. And then on Instagram, I think I have 6,000 now, and I'll get up to 1,000 or 2,000. And then I have a girlfriend who has 300,000 and she may get 1,000 likes. So when you think about it, that's more engagement, because I guess people felt that they could connect to me or connect to whatever I was saying or my message and relate to it. So they felt inclined to take action versus just perusing. So I just keep going. Even when you don't notice that people have noticed, they're watching. They're observing and they're watching and they're reading.
Well, all right. I trust that you enjoyed that. I trust that you got a lot of valuable nuggets out of it. And so what I want to do is to challenge you to take action on it. Don't just listen to this and say, oh, that was pretty and cute, but take action on it. Networking will dramatically change your business. It will dramatically change your life. It will dramatically change every aspect of your life. So go do it. All right. And I want you to pay this forward by taking a screenshot of this episode and sharing your biggest aha moment on social media. Okay. So screenshot in the caption, put your biggest aha moment, ask somebody else to listen to this episode with you. And I will see you on the very next episode of the EntreMD podcast. Hey, if you love listening to the EntreMD podcast, I want to invite you to join EntreMD On Demand. It is my signature subscription program that gives you access to a library of business courses designed to help you do one thing as a physician entrepreneur, and that is to thrive. Just head out to EntreMD.com/on-demand, and I'd love to have you join us. See you on the inside.